Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. Today, and I believe for the next several weeks, we're going back to the book of the Epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. The Ephesians, that which is named in the book of Revelation as the first church among the seven. It's the spring. It's the source of understanding and of life that the church, that is, the people who belong to the Lord, it's that source. It speaks of that source. Of the life that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, Paul opens, and he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, that is, a sent one of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints. The word here is hagios. It means it doesn't have anything to do with perfection or with righteousness. The word hagios, it's a liturgical word. It speaks of commitment. It speaks of one who has, if you will, given over or committed their life unto God. We today think that the church designates who is a saint. And, you know, they speak of this perfect person or this exceptional person. It simply has to do with those who have committed their life to God. To the saints, which are at Ephesus. All the earliest manuscripts, check it out, they do not have the word at Ephesus. So it should read, to the saints and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Listen to the preposition, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you. Now, just further evidence of what I was saying about saints, you know, if one was perfect, why would they need grace? Grace, unmerited favor. Nothing. We did to deserve it, unmerited favor. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. cessation of againstness is a good understanding of that word. If you want a deeper meaning, and the meaning out of the Greek, eirene, it means to set together again. Unmerited favor in setting us together again with God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Third verse says, blessed be the God. Number one, B is in italics. And it says, so it should read, blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Most would read this as though somehow we're blessing God. Here's what it says, eulogitos, you, the preposition, it means good. And logitos, it is the root of it is to speak. The root of it is a word. And this is a name of God. It should read the good speaking God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, there are plenty of passages in Scripture wherein God does speak about His care for us in this world, His care for us of the flesh, but here, the ultimate spiritual, the ones in the church who not only are fleshly, but have now, as a result of their faithfulness, become a dual creation in Christ, not only of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. It's two natures, folks. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. How? By the word in heavenly places. Here's the spring, the source. It says, according as He, that is God, has chosen us in Him, that is Christ. Back to in Christ. That's not all the bullshit that has been perpetuated in the church for almost 2,000 years of, well, you got to walk worthy. Well, you got to not go into bars. Well, you got to not smoke. Well, you got to not cuss. Well, it leaves me out, right? I just did. You got to go to church on Sunday. folks, we're getting to the heart. And we're speaking today that we might understand not only the source, but the privilege of our calling. I've said this often, that happiness is a feeling. It can come and go depending on circumstance. But that joy, true joy, rejoicing, comes with understanding. And Paul is here presenting the understanding we should have of the privilege of our choosing, of our calling, if you will. According, the English translation says, according as he has chosen. The word in the Greek is exelexitos. Ek, meaning past. Loga is, again, to speak, and in this case, it's to choose by speaking. And the suffix on the word is in a part of speech that is found in the Greek, but not here in English. The middle voice gives us the intent, gives us the motivation for the verb. And the middle voice tells us that the action is being done for the actor's benefit, for the actor's choice, for the actor's own will. So, to properly exegete this phrase in the fourth verse of Ephesians 1, it says, according as he has already chosen out from among those who are not chosen, already chosen out from among for his own sake, for his own will, for his own purpose, us in him, that is, in Christ, before the foundations of the world. Chew on that for a while. What's the church been telling you? What's the church been speaking for centuries? Oh, you know, the church, you, who are members gotta do this and gotta do that and gotta do the other thing, or stop doing this and stop doing that and stop doing the other thing. God, through Paul, in this letter, is speaking to those who have, through some understanding, given themselves over to God, and those who are faithful and faith. In the Greek language, it is an action based upon a belief sustained by confidence. And we who have heard so much of God's word and so many of his promises, who have grabbed hold of a promise or those promises and made them ours, wherein we have license, according to 2 Corinthians 1:20, wherein it says, all the promises of God are in him, that is, in Jesus, yea, and in him, Jesus, amen, that is, no doubt. To the ones given over, to the ones acting on the promises of God, that's who the church is. That's what the church, God's people, the people that belong to the Lord, are doing, not all this other crap. Who has past event chosen us out in Christ from before the foundations of the world. That's before the land and the sea. That's before the procession of the equinoxes. That procession, which takes some 23 to 26,000 years. Before any of that happened, God chose us out for himself in Christ. What? Before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Any of you who know me know in the flesh that statement is just not true. And any of you who are honest and sincere, no, it's not true of you either that you're holy and without blame. But God, in his eternal purposes, which he purposed in himself before the foundations of the world, who chose us out for himself in his Son, Jesus, says, in that place, in that condition, that we should be holy and without blame before him. I believe the start of the fifth verse should be that ending of the fourth verse, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The last time we met, the message from Jeremiah 18, the principle to be understood is God's the boss. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, his unmerited favor, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, that's in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That is the word redemption, full price paid. Through his blood, through his, and I've offset, the blood is a symbol, the life is contained in the blood. The blood symbolizes his life, his perfect life, and God has chosen us in him. To the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, through his life, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his unmerited favor, wherein he has abounded towards us. His grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. This wasn't done on the spur of the moment. God did this by wisdom and prudence. God thought this out. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. God is doing this work for himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Christ, in whom Christ also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Oh, church. Paul will say a little later, let the eyes of your understanding be opened, be enlightened, come to the understanding that God is doing this of his own will. And he has called you into Christ. He has chosen you before the foundation of the world, before you ever said your first curse word, before you ever thought it, before Jesus said in John 15, you didn't choose me, I chose you. A little earlier in John, it says, no man comes to God, save the Spirit of God draw him. You didn't decide to come to God. God, that word of art, the hound of heaven, was drawing you. Some came right away, others as they learned. But God's will be done. Oh, that we would understand and have confidence that he who spoke and nothing became everything has chosen us out for himself before the foundations of the world. God is going to do this. God. Not only tells us his will, but gives us the confidence throughout his whole world that he, throughout his whole word, that he is not a man that he should lie. As he has spoken, so shall it be. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. The word is better translated hope. It says in the 13th verse, in whom he also trusted, is in parenthesis added by the translators, in whom ye also, after ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel, the evangelion, the good news, the God spiel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye faith, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession. That's why we talk about the church, the people who belong to the Lord, unto the praise of his glory. Look at God is working an amazing thing. When we go on and get into that second chapter, the seventh verse, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness, in his kindness, in his relationship toward us in Christ Jesus. We're going to leave Ephesians for now, and God willing, be back next time. Today, I would remind all of us, we spoke a few weeks back of the set times of God, of the appointed times of God. Today, being October 13th, at sundown is the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles. This is an 8-day feast wherein, when the people of God came to recognize this set time of God, they would move out of their permanent structures and into a temporary structure made of limbs and leaves and other coverings to by remembrance, remember their time that God led them 40 years through the wilderness. And in that time, God's providence caused them to lack nothing. That in that time, they were totally dependent on God for their sustenance. And during the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, they would, during the week, give 208 offerings. To show their continued understanding that it is God that provides their needs, and this giving of the offerings was not only in recognition of that fact, but in thanksgiving for that fact. To those in whom God has enlightened the eyes of their understanding, my hope is that you will continue in this practice of that set time of God called Tabernacles, the one and the only feast that is mentioned that is going to be carried out in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. If you have heard with understanding today's message, I not only want to hear from you, but I want you to participate with me here at the God School. And that's the God School for today.